Hey, welcome back this week.
Changed beyond recognition. They are not remote corners of these islands. They are its very heart. And by their change, the character of England itself will be changed. I say that we have nothing to fear but our own doubts.
Hey, we're back. I'm not sure what happened just now, man. I'm just trying to make sure we get on our show, and somehow my director had everything on the other end going. So we're back. I'm sorry about that, guys. But this is Rafael Ski with Caribbean, the Caribbean Radio Show with Sports Chat and more. We're going to actually introduce our co-host today. He's going to be on and come on, and we're going to introduce him. Then about 8:20, we're going to have our scores and highlight. And at 8:40 or so, 8:30, I would say 8:30, we'll have our special guest. Every week we're going to have that's our special guest. Our special guest is Ms. Rhoda Arundel. She will be back. We'll have some more conversation. Last week, she mentioned a little bit about the Haiti situation, and we want her to touch that a little bit on that, and then we're actually going to touch a little bit on what's going on with the state of the Caribbean state. You know, so well we're gonna take our time, work on what we're doing, get what we're going, and get this whole Caribbean talk show going. Again, we start off kind of shaky, not sure what happened, but we're good now, we're good to go, and we're gonna talk a little bit about the. Since we're in the Caribbean, we're going to talk a little bit about also we're actually based in the U.S. and we're doing Caribbean show. We talk a little bit about the trades and everything that's going on in NFL today. And we have the Major League Baseball that's getting ready to kick off tomorrow, I think, getting ready to kick off their season. So we're going to do a lot of talk about what's going on in the baseball world. I'm waiting my co-host walked in the door and had sit in the seat next to me. We're going to have some conversation. We're going to talk a little bit about himself, introduce him, and then we go from there and have a beautiful show. I'm glad to be back, like I said last week. Again, my name is Rafael Skeet. We have a good meeting here on the CRS Radio Show. It's Caribbean Radio Show with the sports talk and more. So we're not just talk about only sports. We can incorporate life, but we always talk about life being a sport and sports being life. We got to make sure that we know what everything is all about, and we move forward and making changes. The youth is our most important asset, and what we do is we put a lot of effort in trying to make sure that we could be there for them and have a conversation with them and let them say, hey, come to us and say, hey, you know what, I coach from 11U all the way up to 16U. And my job really to coach baseball is to open that avenue so these young men know that they can make mistakes. They know that they can actually, we're not perfect. I always tell them, kids, we're not perfect. None of us are perfect. We can all make mistakes, but we eliminate the things that we can eliminate. The physical mistake is always going to happen is the mental mistake is what we work on. So we work more on the mental more than the physical, because the physical is something that if you do it every day and all day, it becomes very easy after a while. So one of the things that we teach the mental is create that mental work, because everything that's come easy, you can't expect to make everything easy. I think the hard part is creating the hard and make that hard become manageable, not easy, but manageable. So as coaches, that's what we do. We try hard to make sure that these young men understand that mistake is always going to be made. We could make mistake. We're going to make mistake. Nothing wrong with making mistake. But, and also making mistake is not, you don't want it to be an everyday thing. I'm not saying that we tell them make mistakes every day and it's not an everyday thing. It's you can make the mistakes, but it's the way you create that change, the way adversity is something you have to go through. And if you can make the adjustment, any adjustment, the faster you can make any adjustment in any sport, it makes you a better ball player. So, and again, I always tell kids, man, everybody wants their kid to be a superstar in sports. They want their kids to be the best that they can be. We all do. But there's also sometimes that you have to let them know, listen, man, there's a platform where you may not be the best, or you may not feel like you can make it to that point. You know what? Education is one thing we always push. You know, so if you could go to college and play ball in college, if you can go anywhere and play anywhere in any school, I'm talking Division I, Division II, no matter what it may be, if you can go to any school, I always believe that if you're good enough and if you play well enough, you will be seen. An example, I'm a little boy, young teenager from the Caribbean island of St. Martin, and, the last thing I ever thought was that I was going to be picked up by a professional organization, and a big major league organization came down the same. They saw me in the Caribbean island. Put it that way, they didn't come the same month. I went to play ball in Aruba, and the scout saw me there and thought that this kid got talent. And God blessed me with some talent. So it was something that I pray on to let these kids know that. Don't ever think that it's you're not good enough. Don't ever think that you're in a place where no one can see you. Don't ever think that nobody knows who you are. But if you know who you are, you have the confidence in yourself, and you give everything that you got on the field, whatever sport it may be, you will be looked at. Somebody would see you. Someone would say, you know what, this kid can do something. So that's one of the things that I want to let most kids know. Is that don't just feel as if that platform, you have to be in that platform. There's a lot of kids want to be in the big Division I schools, and they go there and they sit at the bench. And so there was a Division II or Division III school that wanted you to play for them, and you thought that they weren't big enough for you. And you go somewhere else where you're not wanted. So go where you want, and it's the old saying is you want to be a big fish in a little pond or a little fish in a big pond. Same scenario is just the way you see yourself and what you put the creation that you put yourself into. So you just have to know what you want to do and how you want to make things happen and make it happen. So just know that the sport, the opportunities is going to be there. How bad you want it is how bad you want it. We want to make sure that everybody knows that it's not one avenue. Everybody have one destination and different paths. Take your path, whatever path that's given to you, take that path and make it happen. Don't let anybody create your path for you. Don't let anybody create your destination for you. You create that by doing what you think is best to make happen. So the thing is that you have to understand as a young athlete, man, woman, whoever it may be, you got to know what you're doing and make sure it happens, all right? And just us talking about that, my co-host was just come sit next to me, man. I'm going to introduce him and bring him on and let him welcome. Hey, Tony Holton, welcome, man. I know it's been a while. We talked about getting on this show together, and We talked about it, and I said, man, this is time. Last week, I got on, and we tried to put it together where you can slide right in and have a conversation. And I want everybody to know, guys, this is my co-host every weekend. We're going to be here from 8 to 9. His name is Tony Holton, young cat, man. Love this guy, man. He's like my little brother. And Tony, man, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you, brother. Finally, we're able to tap in and make this happen, man. I'm just happy you allowed me to even be a part of this, man.
Hey, it's fun. I wouldn't want anybody else to do this because we do other things together, man. But before we even start to talk about what we do together and what our goals are and what we're trying to make happen, I want you to tell CRS Radio, Sports Chat, who you are, who Tony Holton, what bring Tony Holton to where Tony Holton are today.
Yeah. So first and foremost, man, I'm a good old country boy, man. I'm from Athens, Georgia, a little town near Athens, Georgia, called Statham, Georgia. My bad about that. But yes, man, grew up just playing a game of baseball in the country life, hunting, fishing, you know. And man, grateful, man, the game of baseball, it took me around the world, man. I met a lot of people, brushed shoulders with a lot of people. And just more so, man, I was able to meet this guy, Rafael Skeet, man. I played my professional ball for a few years, even collegiate. Went through my high school season as well. Getting drafted out of high school, turned it down. And then went on the college route, you know. And throughout that, man, you know, I learned so many things just through my college years and my professional years of ball. And I always knew deep down, I always wanted to give back to the youth. You know, the game of baseball brought me so many opportunities and opened so many doors for me that my goal was to give that back to the ones that weren't as fortunate, you know, or that might not have that mentor or that person to look up to. That's what I always, you know, wanted to strive for and become. And I want to say about three, four years ago, I started leaning more towards the coaching dynamic and doing, you know, instructs and, you know, making good players great players and making average players great players as well. But my main goal was to give back, and you know, God put me in a position to where I met Coach. I call him Coach Skeet, but Rafael Skeet, man, and we were able to put together an academy, V Savage Academy, where we're working with guys from 11 up to 16, 17 years old, even older. This is our first year doing what we do, and it's expanding. You know, word travels. You know, when you try to give back and you do stuff with intent and you try to give in from, you know, from your purpose, you know, and it's showing, man. And I'm just grateful to be able to be in the position that I'm in now, where this, you know, we were talking about the radio stations and doing the academy for a while, and we're finally here. And and it's been a journey. It's been a journey from the ups and downs, the obstacles, you learn through it and you learn from it. So, yeah, that's just a quick piece of me and what I do. But the main important part as well, too, is we want to implement and give back to the youth. You know, the youth is the foundation. What we do with these kids, as in teaching them not just what to do on the baseball field, but in life, how to live as a young man. You know, the thing about baseball too is it teaches you a lot of life lessons. You know, patience. It teaches you how to deal with failure, man. You know, baseball is built up. You know, it's what they say, like 80-90% mental, rest is physical. So with that being said, in life, man, you have to be mental first before physical. You know, certain situations, business, like, you have to think from the mental before you go with the physical. So, you know, just being able to give back to the youth and implement from that from that view, man, it's amazing. So that's just a little piece of me, you know, and what I'm trying to bring and my passions, you know. But yeah, yeah.
It's funny, T. I call him T, but you know, it's Tony. But I'm so used to calling him T. And, you know, it's funny because before you walked in and got in here in the room and next to me in the room, I was talking about the same thing about what you just mentioned about the mental and physical part of sports. You know, a lot of people think that the mental, that the physical is the only thing that gets you where you're going to go. But I was saying before you got in here that mental is what we teach more than physical. And it's not. It's not what you do. It's how you make the changes, the adjustment that you make in your mistake that makes you a better player for the next round. And those are the things that we do. And it's funny because we met like 3 or 4 years ago, and we met in another organization, and we both talked about what we don't like and what we like about travel ball, but it's called travel ball. And what we didn't like is the way to really the way that the games are being dissected to the young players, and it and you're from a different generation than I am, but we still look at the game the same because baseball it's evolved. I mean, you can't hit the same thing on the head and expect the same accept any changes, but I understand how it works. And when you and I talked 3-4 years ago, is the same conversation we're having today, and that's the crazy part about it. We always want to make sure that the young men learned, because and you and I both say it, the stuff that we learn as adults, I learn a lot of what I'm teaching today as a professional athlete. And we're trying to give these kids what we learn as an adult at their youth. And so they have an advantage that we never had. You know, so that's one of the things that and it's funny, I was talking about that before you mentioned it. So that's why I think that we work so well together, because we have the same mental makeup of what the game should be played or how the game should be taught.
Exactly. Yeah. And the thing to add on to that too as well, man, with the game, man, like I said earlier, when it's a situation where it's, you know, you have to deal with failure, you know, you'll go out there, you know, and have those 0-for days, man, where it seems like you can't do anything right. And that's where you have to dig deep within, as in being able to look at that man in the mirror and say, okay, how can I make the adjustments? What do I have to do? And I know with the sport, you will run into that with life. You know, sometimes in life, you will run into situations where stuff just don't go right, or sometimes stuff just don't play in your favor. But that's where you have to dig deep from the mental and learn how to say, okay, how can I make the adjustments? What adjustments do I have to make? And be real with that, you know, being real with being able to make the adjustments, you know, and the game of baseball, man, it'll humble you. You know, when you're at your highest, it'll wake you up at times, you know. But, you know, overall, the ability to be in the game and learn from the game is major, man. That's why I wanted to give back. You know, when I decided to retire from the game, I knew deep down, I was like, man, all the accolades from the game that I achieved, not even just from the game, but just meeting the right people and building relationships with the right people and you know, just going, being in that atmosphere of, okay, I'm here to play this game and I'm here to do something big. Even if I don't do something big, how can I contribute? And that's how you got to see it with life, man. You know, every swing won't be a home run swing, but if we making contact, hey, we still in the game, man. So, you know, it's major, man. It's major.
Yeah, you're right. It boils down to a lot of things. Is that you got to know your strengths, know your weaknesses, and sometimes know because when you, like you said, that you always wanted to give back, and I think knowing that you wanted to give back, it allow you to work harder when you were doing what you have to do, because you know when you're ready to give back, you want to give back everything you have. Because I always say to my, when I, as a kid growing up in St. Martin, I didn't have professional coaching. I didn't have anything professional around me at all. But I always say to myself that if I have the opportunity, I'll be that guy. The guy that I've missed, the guy I want to be. And so that's why I'm so passionate about the game, because I knew what it meant to have I see what it meant to have that person who know the game, that teaches you the game. And I didn't have that. And then knowing that I could do that to a young kid, that is what really drives me, and that drives me to make it happen.
Exactly.
So tell the folks a little bit about what we're doing right now, man. Tell them what we're doing.
Yeah, man. So man, right now we're in peak season right now with our 11 through 13 U. We're locking in with that. We just actually finished with our second week of tournaments. From there, we're building a brand also. So the Savage Academy, like Coach said earlier, man, the game has been dissected, low-key diluted. The game has been diluted with travel ball, you know, these that we call them daddy coaches, you know. Some people, you know, when things don't go right one way, they try to create another. So you got some guys that create these teams and they don't know from the professional experience certain situations. So like when you're in the game and you've lived it and dealt with it, hey man, you can speak from a different viewpoint and you can coach and teach from a different viewpoint, you know. So we're actually building that program up, man. So with that, and then on top of that, we're actually trying to branch out to these other places like St. Martin. You know, Coach Skeet, he's you know, born and raised St. Martin. So, you know, certain people, you know, we right now, like the game. How do you feel, Skeet, with St. Martin? Do you feel like with the younger generation, do you think they're big into the baseball side as it was when you were growing up in it and stuff like that?
That's an easy answer. No. What happened is that when I was growing up, it was the generation that was coaching us knew that they had to step back and start coaching the younger generation. Now the older generation does not want to let go, so it's like they're talking about dilution. They're not putting that power and that power behind the youngsters anymore because these old guys don't want to let it go. So instead of I can't play baseball anymore, I'm going to play softball. So I'm not going to put the energy into baseball. I'm going to put the energy into softball. And I'll say this about 8 years ago. Maybe 7 to 8 years ago, I went to visit St. Martin with my family. Matter of fact, I don't know if it's a visit them. I think my mom passed. And I went there, and, you know, baseball, I know the baseball because I'm always going to end up there. And I got there, and I saw an old friend of mine who also was a pitcher for the Texas Rangers. And I saw him, and I walked. He was coaching some guy. He said, man, listen, man, I had 50 guys a year ago. He said, now I got 22. And he said, the reason I got 22 because they're not showing the interest anymore in the kids. You know, they promise them they're going to travel. They promise them this, and they do nothing for them. So that's why I took the helm and start you know, bringing teams down, have a tournament called RSCBI, which is Raffles Speed Baseball Invitational. And then I see baseball start creating again, start happening again. And I kind of stepped back and let them start doing it. And they would call me and say, hey, we want to do this. What do you think about that? We're doing this. What do you think about it? So they still involve me, but I'm glad they're doing that. But it's really fun to know that a new form, a new group of youngsters that went to college in the United States are coming back to bring baseball back to where it's supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, man, for about like almost 12 years, 15 years, 16 years that nothing happened. And then after I went down and started doing it, I thought nothing was happening. But be honest with you, it's like the ground was actually shaking. You know what I'm saying? So on the surface, it looked like nothing was going on because I was disappointed that they weren't making any move. But on the surface, It didn't look that way, but beneath, the work was done. It was happening. It was happening, you know. So yeah, to answer your question, man, yeah, that was it.
Yeah, and to just add on to that, man, just for example, you know, in this game, you brush shoulders and you meet. You know, baseball is a small world, you know. And with that being said, you know, just from your story, you know, I have a few buddies of mine in DR, Puerto Rico, all over, man, that's real in tune with the side of baseball. So Coach Ski and I, we're actually trying to build the Savage Academy up so it can be global. We want it universal. We want it in DR, Puerto Rico, in the States, all over. And we want to be the mentors for these young men, because when you're put in situations where you got college scouts and you got professional scouts talking to you, you do want the right people in your corner, because when it becomes business, that's when it gets tricky, you know. And so I know you mentioned, you know, just to let the people know, but that's one of our main goals, and that's what we're striving for. So, you know, the start is the U.S. You know, we're branching out in the U.S., but our main goal, our overall goal is to be global. You know, so I didn't understand the differences until I start running it to, you know, different people. And, you know, even with St. Martin, you know, I played with a few guys from St. Martin, but, you know, Coach Ski, you're actually one of the closer ones I've had in my life. And I wasn't aware of how baseball was in St. Martin, you know, And it really was an eye opener, you know, when you start telling me about certain things, about how you would go back and visit, and you would see, you know, it was like at first it was like dying down, you know, and it was crazy, because one fellow I played with that you actually coached and mentor, King,
King. I never met King, but I know I worked with his two brothers. I was with his two brothers.
That's it.
Yeah, I worked with his two brothers since they were 12 years old. They're like 19 and 20 now. So, yeah. It's good to know that. You see, the sports is such a small world, T. It's such
small, man. It's so small. And with that, you know, I seen the type of player King was. It was just a situation where I'm like, man, like, you got – savages like that, like, we need them in the States, you know. And the overall goal is, I know a lot of people think, oh, I'm gonna go play baseball, I want to go straight pro, but man, it's so much power in going through college, man, getting that degree, getting that education,
it's hard, man.
It's
not easy at all.
It's tough, and that's why I keep telling people, man,
you know. And not only that, going to college, man, you know, some kids just want to go to these big schools. And they sit the bench and watch guys play, and then in the nothing. So like, is that fish in the pond? Big fish, little fish in the pond. Hey, let me bring in. We got to do a scores and highlight, man. So let's bring in and get the scores and highlight from James Young. He gives us scores, highlight, and all that different stuff. Hey, James, man, what's going on with you today, man?
How you doing, brother? I'm doing good. What about yourself?
I'm doing well, man. I'm sitting here saying, man, this man got to be a little bit more patient with me, man. You know, I'm trying to bring him in the room, you know, trying to work it out, man. We just got a good conversation going. I'm trying to finish my conversation. So I just want you to go, hey, the floor is yours, man. You know, give us all your scores, highlights of what you got going on, and we have a little powwow about after that. So go ahead, man.
So the scores. What kind of scores you want me to say?
Well, we got the NBA coming up. We got the college ball. NBA. We got the college, let's talk a little bit about what you think. What the college bracket. What do you think going on with them? Who do you think is going to be that college? That's final 16, final 8.
I'm going all the way with North Carolina. I think North Carolina going to take it in.
Is that a professional observation, or just because you like Carolina?
No, that's a professional. I don't see nobody beat North Carolina Tar Heels right now.
They're number one
for a reason.
Yeah, but you're going to tell me that you think they're going to walk over? Look who just beat them, though. South Carolina just beat them.
South Carolina just beat them win. When they just won.
Two days ago.
When they have it today?
Yeah, no, about 2 days ago, Southampton beat them. Yeah, they didn't win. They were number one now, but they weren't that number one all the way through. You know, so
oh man,
it's not easy. It's not an easy road, man. So college basketball is a tough game, a tough sport. So you can't just think that because they're number one all year. You got to understand this, man. Matchups are different. You may have a team that you could have a team go 20-1. And that one team that beat them, is the team that they can't beat. Because some people recruit their players just to beat that one team. Like that one game is their championship game. You know, the only thing I could tell you right now that I feel bad about is the Falcons, because I don't know what they did for quarterback.
No. The Falcons, I'm a ride or die Falcon fan. So what they did with our quarterback, I'm glad they did that. But we needed one bad. We needed one bad.
Let me ask you this, James. What did he do that makes him that have him give him that big contract? What did he do with that contract?
He had a good what did he do to get that money?
Yeah.
He know the Falcons needed a quarterback. So he came here. Yeah, he know the Falcons needed a quarterback. And you know the Falcons was going to pay the money because they gave Matt Ryan the same amount of money.
Okay, well,
I just got to add on to something. So I just seen a post where it was Tom Brady and the guy they just signed with the Falcons. They had him at one. He only had one playoff win.
One
out of one playoff win, and he signed for what? What was his contract? 400. His career is like almost like 400 million, 500 million.
Yeah.
Some crazy number, man.
Yeah, for 4 years.
Yep. And the thing is, it's like Tom Brady. We already know Tom Brady is the GOAT in this game. For him to get more money career-wise than Tom Brady is crazy.
And win one,
that's what
and win
me
one
off.
Playoff game. And won
one playoff game. And he just came off an injury, right?
Yeah,
man.
He did.
Oh, that's tough. That's tough.
Yeah,
Atlanta
cannot
I,
be
I,
that
I try
desperate.
To ride with the Falcons. I try to ride with the Falcons. I'm a Georgia representative, you know, like. But that move, that hurt me. Justin Fields right there, man. Justin Fields, that's a dynamic
second.
Player.
Hold on.
But they're looking
for
a veteran. They want a veteran quarterback.
Yeah, veteran. I mean, a veteran. I'm not a quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm a veteran. Give me that money. I'm going to lose just like him. Go in the military and get your military veteran. He's going to lose just like him. You know what I'm saying? That money don't mean nothing. Hey, but wait,
yeah.
Hold on. You're talking about crazy Falcons fans. We got a crazy Pittsburgh fan.
I'm not gonna lie, Pittsburgh on to something. They're on the
Yeah, I think so too. So Dixon, talk to me.
Don't jump on the bus too soon now. Don't jump on the bus too soon now. We want no flat tires. We don't want no flat tires yet.
Mike Tomlin, he know what he's doing, man. I gotta give him his props.
I just got a news broadcast. Right before I came on, I said that. I told Skeet, how you doing? First of all, thank you for inviting me to your show tonight, Skeet. Good to be back. It's been about 4 or 5 years since we started the show.
They twist my arm. I didn't want you to come on, but they twist my arm. So you got to have Dixon, man. Got to have Dixon.
Who said that, Tony?
Yeah, I didn't want you to come on at all. I don't like you like that, dude.
I know, but Tony probably, you know, I heard that voice. It sounded like Tony also got a California accent a little bit. He's been hanging out there with them boys.
Not the Cali accent.
Hey, but no, they got a receiver. They got a receiver from the Rams. All right, so they got a receiver they picked up today. So he's on the Super Bowl Rams. Huh?
Jefferson? You talking about
Jefferson?
He came from the Falcons.
Jefferson. But I'm saying he didn't do nothing with the Falcons.
He wanted to be with a winner, not a veteran.
Right.
He
wanted to win. Right. Who's a Falcon fan? I came on the end of the show. Who's a Falcon fan? Who was that?
I'm a Falcon fan. I'm a ride or die. I'm a ride or die.
His name is James Young. He can't help it. You can't help him.
Okay.
I'm a ride or die fan.
But don't go back. Skeet's been Carolina Panther fan. Then he switched to Dallas Cowboy fan. So now I don't know who's back.
Oh,
so,
man.
I was married into the Cowboys. I was inherited. I wasn't a Cowboys fan, but I had no choice.
Oh, well, divorce came right on time. And Tony, divorce came right on time. And now you can come to Pittsburgh. Hey, Tony, he can tell me about Russell Wilson years ago, so now you got no choice. You might say he was the best young black quarterback back in the day, so now you can come across on the bus. We'll give you a temporary pass, Skeet. We'll give you a temporary pass, Rumi, just for, you know, for the year, just for this year. We'll give you a one-year pass.
I've been an undercover Pittsburgh fan.
Okay, okay. Oh, you're Tom. You like Tony. You're a Tomlin fan. You probably just like, you know, Coach Tom. Yeah, so you know what I'm saying. But like I said,
you
man, I'll just
be
like
real with you. I'm gonna be real with you. When I seen how Tomlin managed, they went going into the season like 0-4. Like they started off horrible, and for them to be a playoff host and competed, that's what showed me. Mike Tomlin, coaching in, he's one of the tops, you know. But from this past season, he showed me dang, he can make it work, man. He can make it shape from finding offensive coordinators to going in and being in playoff hopes, like. Bro, that was major, definitely with the start they had, you know. So that's what really won me over. Then the moves they just made, that added on. They got a squad, man.
But you know what's good is that the way the players respect and love to play for him. I don't know if it's, you know, what something he has to come right in the locker room, but it's like that turns to the field because these guys, man, they was like saying, well, we ain't going to play if you're going to let Tom, because they were talking about his contract, man, and about half the team was like, well, shit. I want to play for Tom. He ain't gonna come back. Even Watts, they was all talking about, shit. If he ain't come back, we don't play for nobody else but him. I'm like, damn. He must have a real good relationship with his players. Though,
Tomlin is my guy, right? He's my guy. But why is it that he has always have this problem with wide receivers, man? What's wrong with his wide receivers? He's building.
No,
he's
not.
Tony,
you want to answer first, then let the Steelers fan. I'm going to shut Skeet up after. Tony, you can make a comment on that. I'm going to shut Skeet up after that.
I'm just saying.
You can answer first, Tony.
That is a good question, though, man. I'm trying to figure that one out myself.
Okay.
I'm going to leave it to the top Pittsburgh guy.
Hey, that's my guy. Okay. I love him. But you got Brown Akeful, Claypool Akeful. I mean, all these guys, man. And he made
now,
them great.
Now, okay, so you were talking about active. I thought you meant receivers that can't play. Cause
no,
people
no,
forget
no,
guys.
The personalities of these quarterbacks.
Okay. But I'm saying, I think when they're there with Pittsburgh and they were, like you said, with Tom, I think he kind of minimized those guys acting crazy. Because even when he was with AB, when he's with Pittsburgh, you didn't hear him. He didn't have episode like he's having now. He for him and Ben Roethlisberger was arguing, but I'm saying as far as like going crazy, like taking his shirt off in the middle of the field and walking off naked and doing stuff. And I think when he's with, he probably wanted to get that way, but I think he had the respect for the organization and Tomlin that he kind of restrained himself. Claypool was a good receiver. I don't know exactly what caused him to get, but even now with Pickens, I like him. He was acting like a little temper tantrum on the sideline. He was, Tomlin said, but he said this is in-house family thing. He said the only thing he don't like is that, you know, showing out on the sideline, and he said that caused some penalty. They're going to make him pay a little fine for that. But I think they knew what they were doing. They probably knew he was going to be the E, because every year I kept saying, they're not giving the guy the ball. He's like, yo, you are. And he was getting pissed. Well, they must have had a plan in their mind, like, yo, we know he's the guy. We're just going to work it out. So now he's the guy. So now he can't jump up and down the side and get mad, because now he's the guy. He's their number one receiver. Now he's their guy. So we need to see what he's going to do this year. Now he's the guy. So we'll see what happens. So, I mean, you know, like I said, Deontay Johnson's going to the Skeets on the team, the Panthers. You know, he hope he have a good season doing that. I mean, like, he was kind of suspect. He got hurt a couple of times, but I mean, it's good to have. We just need a nice key, another receiver to go with. And then we have also a little slot back guy, the little guy that pretty good. I forgot his name, but he's a little fast guy. So they got a little guy, and they always have receivers though. They always got receivers like 3-4 deep and on the depth chart. So I think it should be okay. In our defense, we got a guy from the Ravens. What's his name? Queen. We got a linebacker from the Ravens that's going to probably help us. We should be straight.
We talk about sports and all that kind of stuff, man. Let's bring in some education, man. I mean, you want to do is talk about sports. So let's slow down and invite Ms. Rhoda Aaron down. She's a professor at Howard University. And Rhoda, D. Dixon, and I want you to introduce yourself to my co-host Tony Holton. Tony Holton, this is Rhoda. Rhoda, how you doing tonight?
Good evening to you, to your co-host, and to your audience. Hi, Dee.
Hey.
Hey, Miss Rhoda. How you doing? Miss you, Rhoda. Miss you.
Yeah, same here. I'm just cracking up listening to you guys. I'm like, oh, my goodness. It reminds me of, when boys get together. I was like, listen to them.
That's why I had to mix it up a little. I had to mix it up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Because Dixon talked. You said Pittsburgh Steelers, and he go crazy. You don't want to hear about another team. You start talking about Cowboys and this and that. You know what I'm saying? So I just had
not
to,
that I would know the difference.
Hey, Rhoda. Before we get into it, man. Last week you mentioned a little bit about what's going on in Haiti. Did you find out a little bit more so you can enlighten my audience about what's going on and what's up with Haiti right now?
Okay, I'm glad you asked that because I keep saying that we should be more mindful and more engaged in what's happening in the region, but in particular what's happening with Haiti. So I don't know how much your audience knows, but from the last time we spoke, there's been like a sort of agreement, trying to restore order. But obviously, there's a whole lot of interference, as always in our region, by the big powers, right? The big powers are always interfering with their agenda. And sometimes that also adds more to the chaos. But what we do know is that there's a tentative agreement on the table. It was rejected by some of the players on the ground, but for the most part, what we do have is, an agreement for a transitional government, or at least to begin the process of the transitional government, and from there, to move into elections, organizing elections on the ground. And so there were some conditions that were set. Some people have, applauded the move. Some disagree. There's been more outbreak again in the last 2 days because not everyone accepts that. But the way I see it, and I think the way most of us in the Caribbean, especially coming from the CARICOM arena, is that at the end of the day, this is something that has to be led by the Haitian people. It is their battle to fight, but with the support of the Caribbean, right, with the support of CARICOM in particular. And obviously, you cannot avoid having guns like the United States and France and Canada and those other powers that are at the table. So what will eventually evolve is yet to be seen, but I'm encouraged by the fact that the Haitian people are at the center of the discussion. And that CARICOM is, holding its ground that this has to be Haitian-led. And
Ms. Rhoda,
what happened?
Can I ask you a question,
yes.
Ms. Rhoda?
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening now. Listen to this now. Ms. Rhoda, what is to say that the guy used to be a former head police guy, the guy that's the big guy, carrying big gun. Right, so if he gets rid of the one that's in power now, which he's going to stop and put a seat. Now, he walking with a gun shooting up. How can they he's going to cease? Because basically he's running the country now. So if he say, okay, get rid of this guy.
From what I understand, there are different groups that are involved. But I'll say this, Dave. There are no gun factories in Haiti, right? It's not the Haitians are manufacturing these guns and profiting from the violence and the gun violence. So you have to take that into account. And a lot of these people, for whatever reasons over the years, have been either propped up by different leaders, but also with the manipulation of our external forces, and in particular the United States and France. That's the reality on the ground. So he may be one of the many figureheads that always emerges when you have these kinds of conflicts, but it's a lot deeper than that, right? Because you have right now like over 300 American companies in there and some other factors that are to be taken into account. And, you know, what we're seeing across the globe in the diaspora is a lot of the younger generation, they're not going to tolerate what their predecessors did, right? What, you know, previous leaders in the region have tolerated. And so it makes for a very volatile cocktail. But at the end of the day, I believe very strongly that the Haitian people will resolve this as well.
Sure.
Yep. Are you there?
I just hope they can trust him. Yeah, I hope they can trust him, because the one guy I was reading on, when I seen him in the news, he's like, he used to be a former head of police, and he's one controlling,
yeah,
like, making a lot of, you know what I'm
but
saying?
But, you know, you're getting the typical American-centered news, as opposed,
yeah,
to some of us that are looking at news coming out of the region, news coming,
yeah,
out of places like Al Jazeera, et cetera. You're getting a different or more balanced perspective. And
yes,
it's not a very simple situation, right? It's a very complex situation with many moving parts, right?
Let me ask
mm-hmm.
you, Rhoda. Since I was a little kid, I know we had Papa Duck and we had Baby Duck. It always had been a conflict in government. What do you think?
Well,
what do you think it is? What's going on? I mean, tell me. I don't know. I'm just asking a question.
Apart from history, starting with, you know, the very creation of the Republic in 1804, which, you know, and which countries like the United States and France would blackmail Haiti into paying ransom just so that they could have their freedom. And then you have the U.S. occupation in 1915, which goes all the way up to modern times. You mentioned Papa Duck, for example. You know, United States government, for example, involved in the creation of a constitution of a sovereign state. These are real factors. And over the years, you know, people evolve and different generations react differently. But leaders like Papa Duck and Baby Duck, they were propped up by external governments like the United States. You have many, you know, American companies that have real interest in the natural resources in Haiti. It's an extremely rich country in natural resources. And so what you see on the media is this conversation about gangs and guns, but it's a lot deeper than that. And it's
I truly believe that what I know is that Haiti been paying France for years, and because of what America did, Haiti is the one who actually was the island that actually
paying
helped
ransom.
Paying ransom
for their liberation, right?
Right.
And a lot of these companies, like I just mentioned, over 300 companies of American, but these are all brands that we all support, that, you know, pay the Haitian people like less than pittance on a day for a day's work to create products that, let's say, societies like America consume, right? We always talk about, you know, freedom and democracy, et cetera, and how great it is to live in places like the U.S., but it always comes at the cost of someone else somewhere. And that's the reality in Haiti also. And so if you look across the African continent and across the diaspora, a lot of the younger generation, they're like, you know, we're not having this anymore. The bad thing is a lot of them are not properly organized. And because there's a vacuum, you know, often when there's a vacuum in leadership, you get different factors, different elements rising to the top. And then you get this conversation like you get in typical American media, you know, the gangs and the thugs and the thugs and the gangs. But you never hear about these American companies that are extracting the resources and that are paying these guys and arming them, you know, for their security, quote unquote. Right. That's the reality. That's the reality.
Yeah,
on
that's why we have you here. We just want to make sure that the message we get the U.S. side, and we get the Caribbean side, and then we get Rhoda Arendelle's side. You know what I'm saying? So we want to
Right, and it's a very complex issue. You have people, right? You have different people that are sympathetic to different leaders for different reasons, you know, and they have their favorites. But it's, at the end of the day, it's not as easy, and it's, you know, we've seen what has happened in the past with like UN groups that have gone in, American supported groups that have gone in, and has not led to a better life for Haitian people. And people are saying now, enough is enough. The question is, how do they do that? But I am really encouraged by what I'm seeing, because CARICOM is playing a very important role here, and the Haitian people are at the core of the conversation. Not always to everyone's liking, but I believe with this new agreement or tentative agreement, you know, that's at least it's a step forward. It's a step forward.
Well, hey, we got 10 more seconds, and next. Make sure we want to talk more about your new book that's coming. So we're going to definitely bring that up.
I'm going to talk about that soon in the future. What I want to also, since you guys are on the sports thing, I just want to highlight before I get off here that that the CARICOM also is prepping for the International Cricket Council's men's T20 World Cup in June. And it's going to be held in the Caribbean between June 4th and June 30th. So important for me, at least, where CSA is concerned, Caribbean Studies Association. So there are going to be like 41 matches that are going to be held in six different countries or member states of CARICOM. And so you're going to have matches in Antigua and Barbuda, Guyana, St. Lucia, St. Vincent, Trinidad, and Tobago. But the games that are going to be held in St. Lucia are going to coincide with the same period of the Caribbean Studies Association conference in St. Lucia, which is going to be held, I think, the 3rd to the 7th of June. So around that time, and then eventually the finals are going to be held in Barbados. So just letting our Caribbean people know that are abroad and would like to come to the Caribbean for vacation, you can also come and see some sports while you're on vacation.
Sounds great. We're going to keep it keep them informed as those days come closer. So I appreciate you. Again, remember, we're talking about your book next week and your launch and how and all that stuff. So we'll talk. We'll definitely talk. Thank you so much for coming on and be our special guest. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the opportunity and continued success.
Thank you,
Ms. Rhoda. Guys, she's a professor at Howard University. She actually, last year, she was a professor at the University of Bahamas, and it's good to have her. Again, she's an activist and a professor at the same time. So, you know, we just want to keep her, you know, keep her her information going, so she can always keep us up to date. Myself, Tony, Diggs, Dixon, all of us, you know, keep us what we don't know and teach us and keep up with the Caribbean, the state of the Caribbean. Hey, T, we got about 7 more minutes, man. Tell me what's on your mind. You got Dixon here. You know, I always talk crazy about Dixon, so it ain't no, you can continue it. It's fine. We good with that.
Tell me what's been going on.
Oh, man. Hey, man, it's just been nonstop, man. You know, we, like I said earlier, man, we started up with the season. So we've been just nonstop with that. Trying to keep these people in order, man, because, just trying to make everybody happy, you know. Just, you know how that goes.
Yeah, congratulations. You got the academy started.
One thing we learned about travel baseball, man, it's, We're not just coaches on the field. We have to do a lot of everything outside, you know. So, it's gruesome. It's a lot of work. I'm enjoying it, but it's a lot of work. It's not just coaching.
It's so funny because all three of us came through Georgia Stars. I'm just saying the thing about that.
Right.
It's like doing the trip. But like I said, one thing I did learn from him, which I got to take, and I think maybe, you know, we all. It's just some of his rules he had really came in. You know, he had his funny rules and stuff, but like his rules for the parents and the parent contract.
Yeah,
some ideas that was really good, man. And when I watched and coached travel ball, like the 48-hour to 2-day, like the parents leave just the HAL alone until 2 days. You know what I'm saying? He has some good rules, man, because, you know, after the game's over, you want Johnny's mom to say, Johnny, why Johnny's not playing third? Like,
Yeah.
So he did have some good rules, you know.
Let me give you a little update, man, a little one-minute, two-minute update. We faced his avenue last week. And the Saturday – we lost all, we didn't, he didn't beat us. We lost the game. We lost the game.
Uh-oh.
Man, he was so jubilant. You know, hey, you know, hey, how you doing? Hey, hey, come on. You know, hugging and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then we meet him again Sunday. And hey, he could not, he's like, he was pulling his hair out of his head. But hey, when I got done, he really didn't want to hug me anymore, man. Treat him like he stole something, man.
He's a good game ski.
He gave me Saturday, you know.
I was salty. I wasn't able to make that one, man. I had to coach with my 13 U, man. But yeah. I heard about it, man.
I was saying what Dixon was saying, man. From him, we learned a lot that we wanted to go ahead forward and a lot that we didn't want to use. And he was one of the guys that started our ups and – not up and down, but what we wanted to do as Savage, the yes and the no.
Yeah.
Mostly, it helped us grow our own organization and what we wanted to grow it.
Exactly. Yeah. A lot of insight, man, you know. So it's wild, too, man, like I was talking about earlier, man. You know, Coach Ski and I, man, we would talk about certain things, and now it's in fruition. And it's like, man, we're actually playing against Waters. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was interesting, you know, and going throughout playing against these other organizations, you know, not just basing it off of winning and losing, whatever, but it's just the memories and the stuff we learned throughout those other organizations that, you know, that kind of, you know, gave us the yes and no's, man, so... Yeah.
What happened to he had his pitching coach? He has a 13 or 12. You guys played them yet? Lemon, coach.
Talking about Lemon? Man, Lemon been dodging me, man. We went through the schedules, but I did mess up on my part because I signed my boys up to AAA majors, and you know, Lemon, I think they're in AA majors right now. But hey, you know, when it comes to that, I'm ready. I got full faith in my 13U, man. Our academy, they're grinding, man. We're learning them, and we're growing, man. You know, it's been going on a year, and, you know, just learning and seeing the guys that we have apart, man. It's smooth. It's definitely interesting.
A little bug for you, D, and I told you about it. Don't forget November, second week in November, we're trying to take a team down to St. Martin to play in the tournament in St. Martin. So, you know, we're trying to get some, and there's no age limit to it. So let's get down there and
have some
fun.
So me and you can suit up then.
But no, when you say me, you say you. Me, I know the body I'm in, man. I know the body I'm in.
Nah, hey, you know Skeet, man. He be up there trying to show the swing off and all of that.
A couple years ago, I was out there playing. He'd be like, all right, man, you go out this thing. I ain't going to do like you. I said, man, I felt like I was like a mummy. I was so stiff, I couldn't even move. Man.
I said, hey, that's what you get. I'm leaving it alone. I can coach. I'm going to coach you, but I'm not playing.
I said, it felt good just being out there, man. I just couldn't get my body caught up.
I don't play ball easy. I play hard, and I can't ease up.
Yeah.
I'm 100%.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's all I know, man. That's why the pain is going on now, bro. Playing hard, bro.
I forgot how to dive. I forgot my time to dive to third base and mess myself up because I'm diving too early, too late. The time is
over. Ain't no excuse to really lay down here for a minute. No, you better slide. Hey, this was a beautiful, beautiful hour, man. I love this hour, man. If we can have an hour like this every Monday, this show will be awesome, man.
I enjoy it.
We can do another half hour, another hour. I enjoy myself today, man. And I want to thank all my listeners, man. We got a bunch of people listening. Next week, we're going to start taking calls. And so we're going to give a call number out, and so people can call in and voice their opinion. Hey, Dixon, thanks for coming, man. T, thanks, man.
Thank you, man. I'm looking forward, man.
Pleasure's mine, man. I'll probably pop in next week, man. I might even have some scores, some highlights, some scores for you, man, popping, because I know you'd be so busy. I might get some. You know, the Auburn beat the Gators in basketball, so they're going to the Big Dance.
Right.
They're getting a good season. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Hey, tell everybody goodbye, man. We done. I'll see you. We'll talk a little bit before the next show. And, yeah, get the scores for me.
Okay. All right, man. Thank you, Tony. Thank you for keeping having me on. You guys have a good night,
man.
Keep going, Savage. Keep going, Savage.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, brother.
All right, man.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, man.